recommended consolidation. So they put, I think what they're putting forward, I don't know what was finally selected because they put down three, but I think the top three are going to be continue adding supported living, SOLA, and respite as proposed by the governor. And add developmental disabilities to the caseload forecasting. That was a common theme because if they forecast it, then we hope they need to look at some funding for it, whether it be respite or employment or, you know, the money for kids coming out of special education. Anyway, accurate information on the number of persons in the system, because in one of the cuts, DDD lost a bunch of case managers, and so they lost the case managers that were doing the no paid caseload for people who didn't receive any paid service, and now people don't have any place. For people in Clark County, they have to call Tacoma to even get anybody to talk to. I mean, the people down in here will talk to them, but it's really hard. So hopefully this will force people to at least have a case manager.
Yeah.
You know, because then when a crisis happens, somebody, they can call somebody on the phone who's local, who can help get needs met better. Then I think one of the other ones is proceed with consolidation and downsizing. Don't stop it. Which was kind of a companion to adding community things, but proceed with closing and downsizing.
We really need to be able to add the community things to be able to continue to work on the consolidation and downsizing. And looking at the non-paid services caseload is really a theme this year throughout everybody's legislative agendas and their items that they're really working on. The DDC did a study on the non-paid services caseload this last year, and I can't remember if the current number we're using, is it 13,330 or 15,330?
Depends on if you're including the lead ones or not.
Yeah. You know, it's the number that Ed quoted. So I'm thinking it was 15,330.
Close to 16.
Yeah.
But then that includes the babies. And that, some yeah. will be eligible and some won't. And yeah. some won't need anything besides birth to three. And they're probably getting that, but they don't know that necessarily it's coming through DDD.
But one of the things that we realize is with those non-paid services caseload, although yes, that's a huge number and that's going to be a very expensive item to be able to serve those individuals, about 40% of them are already eligible for Medicaid, which means that if we can get a hold of them and let them know that they need an assessment, many of them could get Medicaid personal care, which we could get that federal match, and they could be receiving that today with no additional dollars added to our current budget. So we need to be able to communicate that with them.
There's also school-age kids in there that don't, you know, they might not need anything.
They may not need anything.
They may need something, they may not. That's, but nobody knows right now because their name is on some kind of magic list, someplace maybe.
Yeah, what the survey really is coming out with is that most people need respite, and then quite a few of them need Medicaid personal care. So anyway, there was a recommendation by one of the legislators that they continue to meet for the next 2 years. All the members are very excited to see hear that. And they continue to work on this task force and move the system forward. And so really, it's, I will be curious to see. I know the legislators, because we have a, there's two Democrats and two Republicans, two from the House and two from the Senate. And so they're talking about the four of them going together and writing a bill to that will address some of the priorities that come out of this group. And that will be, if they do that and it goes forward, it'll be presented cross parties and cross houses, so which will be good. So we'll see how it comes out and we'll see what's working on it.
Isn't it heavily attended by friends of and the
It's union? Very heavily attended, and we really need more community people there, which is always a challenge. Because the Friends of is very, very heavily focused on doing that. That being said, there's actually some good support around consolidation from several key leaders on that group. So it's nice. It's nice that they're actually having the conversation about what is needed in the community for us to be able to move forward in the rest of it. So, and then this is... So the next one is the Team Act, which, as you guys are aware, I think you've heard about, Senator Harkin had proposed it on a federal level. We've been working trying to move it forward on a federal level and not getting anywhere. There's three bills. It's and one of them is focused on education, one of them on DVR, and the other one on DDD, and it's really a process to be able to get those three entities to better collaborate and overlap their service systems. And so, as we often do in Washington State, we're kind of tired of waiting, and we want it to happen now. So we've got a big task group that's been meeting all summer to work on how can Washington State go ahead and get started doing these same types of things now. So we've met, we've got some of the background there on the different bills, and we're going to be proposing one solid bill in Washington State this year instead of three. But what it would do is it would allow DDD and DVR to go into the schools at a younger age to be able to cross over and help so that build the knowledge base of the employment vendors and really help support the individuals while they're in school so that we can hopefully come out of school with more paid positions and without a lag in time. So that some of that work's going to be coming in and doing that earlier. We met with Andreas, am I saying that right? And he's very excited about it and all over it, and so is Linda Rolfe from DDD. So we're pretty hopeful that we'll be able to get some stuff. Personally, I'm a little concerned about rolling it all into one bill. Sometimes it's easier to get a bill through if you chop it up a little bit more. But anyway, that's what that is. Are there any questions on either of those issues?
Now, I think the board talked with the commissioners on the team, on the Harkin committee.
Also, we wanted to touch base on, we had a focus group on that met around the audit that is happening with the Division of Developmental Disabilities, and they met at the ARC. The facilitators of the audit came down and met with a group of parents and a group of self-advocates.
It's a performance audit. It's not about DDD. It's just DDD's term.
Right.
It's a performance audit from the state auditor's office.
And they were doing focus groups around the state. They did five of them, and so the last one was done here. And we had 8 self-advocates and 10 family members who came and participated in that. It was a 2-hour facilitated process, and they got some good information.
What did they
say? They said that the facilitators actually said they kind of led into, well, in other parts of the state, we've heard something about the need for more group employment. And every family member, because that's the group I was in, said, not in Clark County. I was very proud of them. And they all talked about, the things that are working well and areas that need to be improved. But we had a really good group. We had individuals that had no paid services to individuals who had sons or daughters in a companion home, individuals who were looking for employment, individuals who had great jobs, the whole gamut, from babies through, I think the oldest was in almost 40. So anyway, that worked really well. We also did our candidates forum, and several of you were there. We ended up with 170 people in attendance. We had 21 out of 23 candidates there, and we are all celebrating that elections are over. So we will be repeating that in 2 years. So, but it was a good outcome, and I was really pleased with the response that we had from the candidates. Every one of our incumbents was there, with the exception of Representative Wiley, who had made lots of connections with us before that and was unable to come because she had a conflict. She was out of the state. I think that is everything. Was there anything else you wanted me to touch on, Mary? One other thing I wanted to bring up, sorry, is just we are hearing that there is going to be a $1.1 to a $1.5 billion budget deficit going into session this year, not counting the money needed for the McCleary decision, lawsuit decision, and that's the school district decision that says we have to put $1 billion into the schools. So what the governor has said that means is it's an all-cut budget. And we met with staff from central office this week, and they said what we don't know is what they're counting in that 1.1 to 1.5 billion. Does that, you know, so there was some arbitration that happened between the SEIU union and the governor on some increased wages around independent providers and agency providers. There's some increase of living costs. There's some caseload forecast growth. We don't know how much all of that is included in that, so we don't know how much of a true budget deficit that is versus how much is projected. So, but just, we're going to be hearing a lot more about that. The governor said going into it, her budget will be an all-cuts budget. All the state-only programs, which is individual and family services, the state-only employment, Medicaid, personal care, are all going to be on the chopping block again this year. So we're going to need everybody working together to try and protect those services.
So we have a few people on state-only. I will work with BDD about talking to those families again.
Thank you.
Thank you, Darla. Okay, so as was mentioned a couple minutes ago, the board had the opportunity to meet with the Board of Commissioners in, back in late September, and all four of us here were there, as well as Mary and Scott and Leanne and Mary Potter. And the gentleman
and
yes, yes, and then
almost everybody but Ted.
Everybody. And feel free to add a comment, but it was obvious to me in having a conversation with them that definitely we're becoming a familiar voice to them, and maybe some seeds have been planted, but it's just those refresher courses that remind them to fertilize those thoughts and to do something with that information once we leave the room, and life becomes really busy and hectic for them again, just like it does for all of us. But did you guys have anything else you wanted to add? They were a very, very receptive audience.
Yeah, I think that they're getting the whole idea of employment. I think there's a strong desire to see people employed. Some members of the board still are working under stereotypes.
Somewhat.
One. And so, it takes a little bit more time to get that across to them. But I think that they're.
But I thought it was a good conversation we had with them.
Mm-hmm. And they did sign the plan, so you have lots of permissions.
Yeah.
But like, you know, like Walt said, there's, you know, one of the commissioners is afraid to give anything up. He's receptive to what's new and what's being done now, but he doesn't want to eliminate any options for any family. And I think his comment, or a comment was made very similar to that from a different state Senate candidate, that again, we could use the money we're spending for these RSUs on something else. However, we don't want to eliminate people's options to put their children in this situation. So it's just this fear of letting go of something that exists in your past that really, like Darla said, it was overwhelmingly determined that people don't want that anymore, but convincing people that it's okay to let that not be around anymore. And then, after our meeting with the commissioners, a couple of weeks later, we got to have our October event, which acknowledges National Disability Employment Awareness Month, which was held once again at the Hilton. Graciously allowed us to come in and use their facility for the afternoon. And I love hearing what people have to say about the importance of employment and what it means to them, hearing the employers talk about what value is brought to their employment place, their lives, their view of the world, kind of, when they have a diverse workforce. Any other?
I've been going to that market all the time.
Yo, New Seasons. I know. I live downtown. So New Seasons, the CEO of the New Seasons is out on 164th. Just spoke very passionately about their philosophy as a company, but how that has provided opportunities for them to have such a diverse workforce and the passion of all their employees and the family and the unity that they have. And I second that because although I haven't done it, I live down here in Vancouver, and to me, East County is a kind of a scary traffic-ridden multi-lane. What happened to the farms? Come on, what happened to the farms? And so I don't go out there, but I told...
We have coyotes.
We've got those in my neighborhood. But it does. It makes me want to make a commitment to go out there and do more shopping. And Emerity even said to me, she goes, John and I do it once a week. We go out there. And they live in Hazeldale. So that's like... Major, but it does.
And it's easy for you to get on 14 now.
No. Shh. I go to chemists and I come home from.
You go past it.
Exactly. Oh, on the freeway. On the freeway. You're not listening. All right. Yeah, I'll spend more time out there. Yeah.
Well, New Seasons wants to help sponsor next year. We have to figure out how to let them do that because I don't think if we have it at the Hilton, they won't. Let us bring New Seasons food in. So we just have to find a role for them. So remember that.
Well, that's great.
Now we have a business someone.
I believe Pat's COO, just for the record.
COO, Chief Operating Officer.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought he was one of those letters. Okay.
Corporate sponsors. We'll have to call it the Four Seasons Disabled Employment Awareness.
New Seasons,
I'm sorry.
And then maybe we can have it at the Four Seasons.
There we go.
And then we can get the Four Seasons to come and sing.
A lot of seasons here.
Okay. All right. So there's a legislative...
Got a question.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
I think it was, the event... The Monday after the event, there was a front page article in the Columbian that talked about the individual that was the employee of the year. It was pretty good spread on it.
Yeah. So one of the advantages of being the board chair is you get to sit up on the stage and look at the audience. And so the excitement, to watch the excitement build with that whole front row was the family. And oh my goodness, to watch the energy and the excitement and then to hear his speech and how I loved it when he said my parents, thanks to his parents, always having high standards for him. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I went out to buy some meat, which is kind of expensive, but there's a reason why we buy it there. And I bought 4 pounds of hamburger, and they talk about being the friendliest and the most obliging store. And the butcher said, well, you have 4 pounds. You probably only use a pound at a time. Do you want me to wrap those separately so that you can freeze them?
Uh-huh.
How long has it been since you went to a supermarket?
We're talking about New Seasons, right?
Yeah, they do. They really I think the enthusiasm really did show in the people that were at the event.
Yeah. I hear there Clinton did a wave.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, yeah, that's right. You were gone.
I heard he did a wave.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he addressed the crowd a few times.
We made it worth his while.
Yeah.
Well, I can see it would be a great place to work. Yeah. Everybody out there seems to be just bubbling with
Their department is their specialty. It really is. Yeah, it's pretty cool. Okay, so legislative agenda. So to a more somber topic. You have a copy in front of you that we...
This is a draft, but we really need to do something with it. I did talk to Leanne and got her...
blessing, vote or blessing, because I wasn't sure if Dennis was coming, so I thought maybe it was going to be light on board members tonight. She said keep the things from last year. I reminded her that the adult services, there was one other thing in 2012 that no longer is an issue, so I took that off. And then these are the things from last year. I put in italics the employment services and health care, mostly not necessarily an agenda item, but something that you might want to talk to when you do meetings with legislators, but you don't necessarily have to put it on the agenda. So the rest is for you to change or do whatever.
I like the consistency, and it's also considering that it's going to be a session that's going to be working on budget items. We're not asking for any budgetary items. We're just simply saying that the priority the rest of the country even has is jobs, mm-hmm. is reflected in this, and that you shouldn't just set aside people with disabilities in that same quest.
Mm-hmm. You want to make a motion?
I move that we adopt what is written.
Give me 1 second.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Sorry, Walt, you said adopt what? I'm sorry.
Adopt.
Adopt the.
Okay. Opposed. Okay. So Walt's motion has been approved. This is the agenda we'll refer to as we visit with our legislators, which will be January has worked pretty well. December has gotten really hard to get with them. So I think how we were doing it in January with primarily meeting in your own district with people having coffee has worked really well. So if you want to do something different than
sorry, well.
Okay. Well, there's always later time. Okay, so the next item on our agenda is the preparation for the ceremonial passing of the tenderizer. And for those of you that weren't here when I became board chair, Del gave a lovely retirement speech and bequeathed me with, if necessary, a gavel that he's disappointed that I haven't used in any meetings in the last 2 years. But we need to get a new nominating committee together so we can nominate a new board chair as well as a new board vice chair. And so I'm thinking that committee might consist of Scott, Ted, Mary, Leanne. All those in favor? Okay, really, in all seriousness, our next meeting will be in January, and that is scheduled to be the last meeting for the current board chair. And so I'm sure we could twist some arms of some of the members that weren't here, but would any of you like to be a part of the nominating group?
Sure,
I'll
maybe.
Well, okay. And well, Leanne has indicated she might be willing to be chair.
Good.
Mm-hmm. And Mary Dee will be a part of the committee.
I'm sure Mary Dee will be. It's the vice chair we need to figure out.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How many do we need for that? No,
just a couple. Because
I could do it. Right? Well, if you two want to do it, and Mary Dee, then...
Yeah, oh. We're done.
Yep. You three are probably easier to corral.
You easy to corral?
Okay.
Yeah, sometimes.
And we could even probably clean it back and not do it. Yeah.
That would be
okay. Walt, Susan, and Mary will be the nominees. Mr. Gordon,
actually, I have a transit update.
I was going to let you know.
Sorry.
Okay. I think that was my good feeling.
No, there's somebody's missing. I just thought we'd pass it back.
Someone. I haven't seen.
There you go. Okay. I wasn't going to call you after you
Transit update. You're all probably aware of the Proposition 1, which is the bus rapid transit light rail initiative, failed. What that means in the future is anybody's guess. Again, one of the things I'm not sure if it was clearly communicated to the public or not. Currently, right now, with the way the bridge requirements are, it requires some form of high capacity transit. And approximately 2 years ago, the C-Tran Board of Directors, along with the Regional Transportation Council, Metro over in Portland, decided the preferred alternative form of high capacity transit is light rail. So while some people may have thought that voting down Proposition 1 was voting down light rail, in reality all it was doing was voting down the method to pay for the operation and maintenance of light rail, because that bridge currently requires high capacity transit on it. And so it's not as if you're voting down light rail, it's just how you're going to pay for it. There's been a number of things seen in the paper probably of different methods in order to pay for the bus, I mean not bus, but the maintenance and operation of light rail. One is a property tax in the sub-district, which was what was a big controversy about 3 or 4 months ago. Another thought is to have a special sub-district and have an increased sales tax within that area. And then there's other creative options they're looking at as far as how to pay for the maintenance and operations of the light rail. Regarding bus rapid transit, which was the other partner of the initiative, the bus rapid transit, I'm not sure what the next steps are going to be. There was a series of meetings today at C-Tran to talk about that. With me being in operations and not in planning and development, I wasn't privy to some of the inner workings of what's going on. I think over the next few months, maybe even years, we'll have a better understanding about what types of alternatives go down the fourth plank corridor. So at this point in time, we're not sure what the future will be. There's even some call into doubt that maybe the whole idea of the Columbia River crossing would be altered, but I don't have any idea about that. The other major change is the fact that Commissioner Bolt's position on the C-Tran board will end at the end of the year when Mr. Medore becomes commissioner. He'll be part of the Clark County Commissioner block that are members of the C-Tran Board of Directors. Depending upon what finally happens between Mr. Tanner and Mr. Milkey, we'll determine if there's actually two new members to the C-Tran Board of Directors. I haven't heard anything about the outlying communities like Battleground, Camas, Washougal, that have representatives, and whether or not there'll be any changes in that. I would urge you that if you have the time on November 13th, the C-Tran Board of Directors are meeting for their monthly meeting. In November, it's a budget meeting. It's going to be talking about the budgets for 2013 and 14. They'll be adopting the finalized budget on the December board meeting, which is the second Tuesday of the month. But the November 13th meeting should be pretty interesting to try to find out what's the financial future. Yeah. So it's all up in the air.
What time do they meet on the 13th?
5:30 p.m.
At C-Tran?
At C-Tran. The budget meeting starts at, I believe, 3 o'clock. If you go to ctran.com, you'll get the agenda and times. The public's always invited to attend. I forgot to mention the Citizens Advisory Committee is also looking for participation of the community. The Citizens Advisory Committee has different members that represent different demographic groups like non-riders, people with developmental disabilities, visual disabilities, education. We're always looking for an educator, students, youth. Yeah, I was looking right over there to the left, but she cast her eyes down before I could make eye contact. Sly technique. She's even keeping her eyes down right now. But my point is that's the last Thursday of every month, so please join us. You can see what the advisory committee does and give your 2 cents worth. There's always public comment during the citizens advisory committee. So if there's something that you'd like us to work on, improve at, focus in on, that's a great forum to share your ideas and thoughts. And you don't have to be there. You can always do that electronically.
I think you have some applications or...
We're currently recruiting,
have
yeah.
some applications for representing developmental facilities.
We had 3 interests, but no applications.
Oh, tell Amy that.
3 applications.
Or 3 interests, but no applications. Did people just get the application?
As far as I know, they did, because they directed them to the website.
Yeah. So that may be what... So they're...
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Dallas Dutch. Some applications or some...
Applicants.
Both, which is why I have the applications to take the applicants. Oh, okay. You're covered, Walt.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, is there any new business? Yeah. Well, we have one thing. Darla can talk about it, and I will just pass out the executive summary. It's kind of bad timing, but... This just came out, and if you want the full thing, I can get you it, but it's like 109 pages, so I didn't think you wanted 109 pages.
So, Disability Rights and Columbia Legal Services had, there was the Boyle. Thank you, lawsuit, which was where they were looking at how the Division of Developmental Disabilities provides services to individuals on a waiver. So if someone on a waiver was actually getting all the services that was that they needed to meet their needs. While they were going through the files to as part of this Boyle lawsuit follow-up, they came across a lot of concerns around abuse, neglect, and sexual abuse that was not being followed up on appropriately. So they ended up hiring some outside consultants from across the nation. There was 2 big entities, and they came in and they did a sampling of 160 files out of about 4,000 files in the state and came up with this report that they did on Too Little Too Late that basically is saying that DSHS is not following through in a timely manner on the abuse, neglect, and sexual abuse cases that are being reported to them and that is endangering people and causing them additional harm. Most of those situations occurred either in supported living and SOLA, but it wasn't the focus of the... is not that abuse is occurring more often. About 3 or 4 years ago, there was actually a review report that came out that said that people wasn't reporting enough. So there's been a great increase in abuse and reporting. Hopefully not in abuse. There's been a great increase in reporting. This is actually focusing on what's happening with those reports once they occur in at the DSHS level. And so, although we have some concerns, we have supported living individuals, providers that are very concerned. We have some SOLA individuals that are very concerned. This really is focused on DSHS, not on supported living. That was just the way that they looked at the files, because those were the files they had access to. In addition to this, there was a report that came out about 2 weeks ago on the SOLAs, which are the state-operated living alternatives. Those are the community-based residential programs that are staffed by the state workers. They're actually state workers that work in those. And that showed some major issues as well. There has already been some staff changes and some things that have occurred on at central office that to address some of those issues. So there was a little bit of an overlap between these, but they were really different issues going on as well. The concern is that it coming out while the DD system task force is meeting and right before legislative session, it will get used to say supported living and community is not safe. We need residential settings to say they're not safe. That is not the focus of this, and they do say very clearly that's not the focus of it in here, because the reality is this DSHS follows up on the abuse and neglect reports in the RHC as well. That just wasn't the files they were looking at through this. So it's just kind of bad timing.
So we may have to mention that when we're meeting, that this may come up.
We need
the community isn't safe. Mm-hmm. It's that the reporting mechanisms need to be or the timeliness of reporting and action needs to.
It really is evidence that we have an underfunded, broken system that needs to have more funding allocated to it so we can have appropriate staff to follow up on what needs to be done regardless of what setting that is in. And I think it's really important that we educate our legislators and they hear it from us before they go and get hear it from other people.
I have a question about who's responsible for investigating a report of an abuse. Should that be with the department? Or ordinarily, I would think if there's a report of abuse that the law enforcement agencies would be involved.
Both get involved.
So why is it so untimely then? Why does it take so long to happen?
There actually, and I can make copies of this, but in the appendix there is a flow chart on what happens when what's supposed to happen when abuse is reported. The quick response in Washington State, and I'm sure some of you probably know this better than I do, but I think the quick response is like 8 to 12 days. Right, and if somebody is being severely abused or repeatedly abused, that's a really long time for action to even for somebody to even look at it. So,
in the day program for employment, it goes to APS and then Adult Protective Services. I don't believe did that happen with.
We have a one-day turnaround.
They have a one-day turnaround. What about the part of them?
They go to RCS.
Yeah, it has a different mechanism. Oh. So
and they will call Residential Care Services with the complaint investigators.
And that's where some of them.
And they have 24 hours to make contact with the complainant. And then depending on the severity of the complaint, is how soon an investigator will come out.
So did they use a matrix just like they use with CPS that says that they're this age and this is the alleged abuse, then it's a...
No, if somebody says client A slapped client B and then they come and said, I'm sorry, that's going to be a lower. But if somebody says a staff person is allegedly sexually abusing somebody, that's going to take a higher, and they're going to send somebody out more promptly. It just depends the severity.
Yeah.
So one of the things that we're looking at is potentially looking at some legislation around the time frames, seeing if we can tighten it up there. But, I mean, obviously DRW is going to take the lead on all of that.
Yeah. So
it's not something any of us would do.
It's out of everyone's hands.
Yeah.
Except when you have people saying, well, those institutions are safer, which they are not.
Right. They're just going to use it for what it does not say. That's the point. And it's not DDD. It's beyond DDD even because it's the aging and, you know, so it's ADSA level. It's not just DDD. So we need to look at, as advocates, we need to make sure that it's happening. The investigations are happening the way they should be.
Or the way that Andy described.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, okay.
That's it.
You need to top that with
I'm going to start bringing fun news.
Okay. So my news isn't necessarily fun, but it's okay.
black lab that has adoringly accompanied me to meetings has been released from college. He's coming home.
What, oh, to you?
No.
Oh, oh, oh God.
My friend lives right next door to New Seasons. So I'll be going there more often now. She lives in the subdivision directly north of
Gilbert didn't even
know. You know what? He loved his trip to Target, but when they took him to a daycare, he put his head down and he said, "Don't hug me."
Yeah, he got afraid.
So he's gonna be home Saturday.
That's beautiful.
I know, he's gonna be home Saturday. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there. I declare this meeting is adjourned. Thank you all for being here.
I can't believe that.
There are a lot of people that are like this. Oh, I know. I told you.